Hello and welcome back to my little corner of Oklahoma education. It's been a bit. It's been a couple weeks because we had spring break and then we had a week back of school, and so I guess I need to do some recapping. One, spring break, it was good. Got to rest and relax. Got to catch up with some friends and get some coffee with some people and have some conversations. We went on road trips. Well, I say road trips, not multiples. Just my son went on a road trip with his grandparents to Western states. We're still working on trying to visit all 50 states before he graduates high school, and we're really, really close. So he had Idaho, Oregon, and California out west that he had not been to yet, and so my parents took him on a little bit of a trip. Started off a little hairy with some of the weather and had to change some flights, and ended up getting in real late on their first night, but everything went well. Got to see some cool waterfalls and some Crater Lake and the natural things and the redwoods and all the things in San Francisco, and sounded like they had a really good time. And then my wife and I decided to hang out with some friends. Did like a long weekend in McKinney, Texas, which it was pretty cool. Like little downtown historical McKinney. First off, me and being a geography guy, I got a little fascinated with the whole DFW area and figuring out which town was which and how big it actually was and where. But no, we got a Airbnb there, and downtown historic McKinney, Texas was really cool. A lot of cool shops and places to go to and hang out and some good food, and had some good times. Oh, got to see a FC Dallas soccer game. Haven't seen them in a while. I think I might be bad luck because they got thumped by Vancouver. So, oops. But no, good times. And then spent the rest of the week just kind of relaxing, taking care of some errands, and for the most part, just enjoyed the time off. When we got back on this last Monday, we had a professional development, which I honestly was kind of looking forward to it because they had on the schedule. Oh my gosh, I just forgot it. Teaching with Love and Logic. That's what it was. Teaching with Love and Logic, which that book, there's a parenting version of it too, Parenting with Love and Logic, but the teaching one, I have read years, decade plus ago, and I think it was probably one of the ones that really formed my thought process on how to parent, but also how to be a teacher. And I was kind of looking forward to it. I'll be honest, I it was a little confusing at the beginning because there was a big old long speech about how we got to be aware of, punishments, ISI assignments, and suspensions, and whether that's disproportionate from some, demographic groups and others. And I guess the State Department looks at some things like that. Which my thoughts were, I've heard this before. Like when I taught in a different district, that was something else that people got concerned about. Like, oh, certain demographics are overrepresented compared to the population of the actual school or district. And I think the demographics, they've got messed up because it's not about, because they always divide them up by like ethnicity. But if I'm being honest, it really is like a socioeconomic status. What you're dealing with is predominantly a school site is based on like middle class values, middle class ideas of culture and propriety, if you want to use an old British term, the right words, the right actions at the right times. But, quote unquote, right. It depends. It depends on your upbringing. It depends on your philosophical, spiritual beliefs. It depends on your family culture. And so those are going to be different for different people. But I still think the biggest difference you see is like socioeconomic, the wealthy to the middle class to the working class. And that's the biggest difference. And that's the thing I think we have to help them work on. But regardless of the reason they brought them, we got to talk about love and logic, which I was a little bummed because it was, we didn't have a speaker. It was basically some videos and a PowerPoint, and a district employee kind of went through them. And bless them, they were doing their best, but it was a bit awkward. I don't know if they've just not had to do presentations in a while, or if just nervous because there was a lot of people there. But it was a little bit stop and start. And I had some teachers around me who were kind of like, "Oh, seriously, this is what we're doing? Like, we videos? We couldn't have just done this in our classroom?" And I had to like kind of redirect and be like, no, I know this is awkward, but this is like really good information. And I think this could be super helpful. And so the that actually came through as we kind of sat down, watched some of the videos, and kind of worked through it in the workbook we had. I think some of the teachers started to realize, okay, this is interesting. This is helpful. One of the big things that we're talking about is the idea that you just don't argue. Don't argue in class. We have different modules, and apparently we're going to go through the different modules over the next, the rest of this school year and into next school year as part of an attempt to help with de-escalating situations in a classroom. But the big one they talked about was don't argue. It's like, don't argue. I like the idea they had. I don't know how I'm going to implement it, but it was just this idea of, you have office hours. We have arguing hours. It's just like, I argue at 8:15 and 3:45 daily, make your appointments as needed. So it's one of those things like, just don't get into arguments in class. And they talk about this idea of, they gave some lines, different things. Some lines that you say to, I believe you. What did I say? I understand. It's like, that's not fair. But what did I say? Or like with students who are wanting to go to the bathroom, especially early in the year, I deal with this a lot. It's like, can I go to the bathroom? It's like, hey, can you? But after you finish this little thing with your group, and usually it's like 30 seconds to a minute. That it doesn't take long to do. But it's like, but I really got to go. And it's like, I believe you. What did I say? And they're kind of, go after we're done with the thing. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. It's like, don't think we're arguing. I'm not going to argue with you. Because it's just not a good look for an adult to argue with a teenager, even if you're right. I think some students are entertained by that. But also, especially me being a gigantic human, it would look even worse for me to argue with students at the time. So, I'm kind of curious how this goes. They put the training as we're trying to give you a menu of strategies and pick what works, and I agree with that. I don't think there's a one size fits all way to interact with students in a classroom. I don't think there's a one size fits all way to manage, or present the content. And so the more, I guess in my mind, and I'm moving my hand around my waist, like a tool belt, the tools you have in your tool belt, the different variety of tools you have in your tool belt, the better off you're going to be. So sometimes you got to be sympathetic, and sometimes you got to be firm, whatever it takes. But step one is like, neutralize the arguing. It's not good. It just wastes time. And it definitely just isn't a good look for the teacher, because if I'm being honest, I think a lot of teachers maybe cause their own problems in the classroom because of this one little thing. They argue with the students. Well, you it wouldn't be the worst thing ever as a teacher if you lost the argument, but the student can't lose. Like, they can't look bad in front of their peers. And so it's just never a good thing. And even if you, quote unquote, win, because maybe you kick them out and send them to the office and they get in trouble. Like, technically, what's the old saying? You won the battle, but you lost the war. Like, you won the battle, you lost the war. Like, you won that day, you kicked them out, and the principal dealt with them. Or maybe they did get, like, ISI, and they're gone for a couple of days. But then they come back, and they know why they were in that horrible room, and they know it was you. It was your face, your voice, and you better believe they're going to spend the next week, month, whatever, punishing you. They're going to punish you. And they may not even be cool for a bit, but next time you have a little bit of a, sideways conversation, there's going to be no benefit of the doubt. They're just going to jump right back into where you were. And again, even if you send them out and kick them out and they get in trouble, like, the way you're handling it, the other 20 odd students are watching that going like, oh, that teacher's kind of a jerk. And even if the student you're getting onto deserves it, needs to be redirected, it's not just the fact that you have to talk to them. It's how you talk to them that is so important. And I think a big part of that is just eliminating the arguing. So I like that we were talking about that. I'm kind of curious where that goes next. I did open it up for teachers. I asked principals if I could send out an email to the staff. And it was just like, despite a potentially awkward presentation, I think this is really good information. So like, come on by after lunch. I'd be glad to talk to you down in G104. And I had a teacher show up, and we talked. It was a good talk. I don't really know them. They're a math teacher. I don't think they've only been in the building for a couple of years, but we did have a really good talk. And part of it was the age old argument of, is it a programs or, and like policies that are going to change the school, or is it people? Because I definitely fall on the side of people. Like, the programs and the policies don't matter. It's the people that make the programs and the policies matter. So this teacher was kind of like, we need, you know, in some instances, we need a one size fits all rule for everything in the school. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to make a difference because, you know, in one case, I think it was an example, not they were arguing for it, but there was an example of, we need to have the little cubbyhole shoe organizer things for cell phones. And I just looked at him and was like, yeah, that's nice, but I'm not going to do it. And it was like, oh, well, I can't. Well, there's that plan. And this is the problem. It's like, yeah, but the thing is, you're forcing me to do a thing that I don't need to do to manage my classroom. And that's the problem with the one size fits all approach. And, you know, we had a good back and forth. And I think maybe, hopefully, I encouraged them to consider that it's about the teacher and their connection and their interaction with the humans in their classroom that matters the most. How you go about it, whether you do a little cell phone locker or you just have a policy where they have to put them away when the door is closed, that's mine. I like that one a lot. But you just figure it out. We also talked quite a bit of about the idea of, what was it? Oh, growth, student growth. Because in the end, like, that's the important part. They even had mentioned with some of the math stuff, it's like when they first arrived at some of the math requirements, it's like, wow, that's a big old test. And they admitted that they even struggled with some of that stuff. Like, I had to get a little bit of a reminder. And it was a good conversation about, like, what's the actual point of class? And we both agreed the point of class is students being better. Like, that's it. Students being better. And sometimes that's emotionally better, psychologically better, academically better, socially better. Sometimes that's a skill we got to work on too. And it was just, we got to talk and share about that. And I recently had some situations where students were doing better. I've had some really shy students to the point where they don't really say much at all. And over the week or so before spring break, I was explaining that they've started, like, I mean, they've talked to me individually, but in terms of class, when I need a group to answer something, they always just kind of looked around like, not me. But it was a couple times right before spring break where they did. They just kind of grabbed their group's paper and read me the answer. And on the outside, I'm like, oh, fair point. I appreciate, yeah, I like what you're saying there. Anyone else? But on the inside, I'm like, woohoo, yes. I'm like jumping up and down and like, it's finally happening. And I'm really excited about it. So there's things like that that I really appreciate and I like to see. And then also, I have some students who, they're finally figuring out that school is not necessarily hard. You just got to put some effort into it. And in my class, I've always advocated, like, read when I ask you to read, discuss when I ask you to discuss, and like work on your study guide. Your study guide is as close to the test without being the test. And it would be really helpful for that. And of course, if you struggle a little bit, because sometimes we just have brain farts, we can do test corrections and we can get you some like half credit back to your score. But this is the time of year where there are some students where like they finally start trying to do that and they're finding success. When you have that student that was like making D's on tests all through, you know, earlier on in the semester, but then they, I don't know why, but they just turn it around. It's like, you know what, I'm gonna pay attention. I'm not gonna sleep. I'm going to work on my study guide. And they start getting C's and they start getting B's. And then like right before spring break, I got some of these students who were like back in September, October, they're like failing tests. And now they're getting A's on their tests. And it's just, it's so cool to see. I need to remember to tell them that. I don't know that I did this week. But that's so cool to see. And then I have some, as they're figuring out and finding success, they got people around them going like, hey, how do I do that? And it's a little maybe frustrating that we're practically to April and some of them are just now figuring out that, oh, I can put in some effort and life, my grade academically would be better. And sure. I wish they would have figured that out. Fall break, Thanksgiving break, but they're all on a different journey. They're all trying to figure it out. And as long as they get that figured out and they are just that much, just slightly better when they leave in May than they were in August, then I don't know that I have too much to complain about. Sure, the timetable isn't what I would have liked, but they got there. And I've been really excited about that, seeing that in, right before spring break. And then just this week, seeing some students trying to like ask questions about like, how do I fix this? And not just like, can I get some extra credit? But how can I fix this? How do I come in for test corrections? How do I work on my study guide? More students just realizing like, oh, I can just ask you like in the downtime of class in between reading and discussing to like look at this answer and see if I got it right. I'm like, yeah, it can be that simple. You don't have to read something out to class. You can just say, hey, Farnham, what about this one? Did I get it right? And I'll be like, yeah. Or like, yes, but don't forget this. So just seeing that has been really good. What else we got going on? I got some new art on my back wall, which I really like because it's what's the artist's name? Laura Zombie. She was some Instagram artist I found years and years ago, and I have some of her artwork in my classroom. But this one, if you can imagine, it's two wolves, like a black one and a white one, and they're fighting, kind of in like a yin and yang type shape. But the story, students eventually were asking, like, what's that? What's up with that? Why'd you got a new flag? But it's a story I've heard before, and I really liked, and I've seen this art, but it was kind of expensive. But this ended up being like a art flag. It was like 20-something bucks. But two wolves. The story is, older man is talking to his grandson about life and whatever else, and they end up on the topic of, he's telling his grandson, like, you know you have two wolves inside of you. Like, one, a dark one that's like angry and vengeful and all the negative emotions. And then there's a lighter one, a white one, that's like all the positive emotions and like good things and giving and kindness. And the young man is a little concerned, like, oh my gosh, you got two of those in me and they're fighting. And he looks at like, but grandpa, which one wins? And the older man turns to him and says, the one you feed. So that's actually like a really great story. Really loved it. But it's actually made for some slightly sassy moments in class because some of the students heard that, and that's kind of been the tagline a couple times. It's like, you're feeding the wrong wolf. They've even called me out a few times because maybe I was being a little too sassy and like, Farnham, you're feeding the wrong wolf. I'm like, fair point, thank you very much. But no, I like it. I like the art, I like the talking point of it, and it's been really great. It's a good reminder, and so that's been a positive. What else is going on? I'm a department head this year, like a co-department head. Or a big school, so there's two of us, and part of that is, I guess I'm earning my keep this last few weeks and over the next couple of weeks, because we've been doing interviews for new teachers, and that's been interesting to sit in on interviews. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that's pretty good, and other people are like, no, it's not good, and I got to figure that out, because maybe I don't know what I'm looking for on these interviews, but I feel like I got a good like sense of what a good teacher would be and what a good teacher to like work with others are. So that's been interesting seeing those that process go through, but also the schedule. We have to, myself and my little co-department head, we have to sit down and basically make a proposed master schedule for the social studies department, and just trying to weigh that out. You know, the number of students that have requested a class, and then trying to weigh in like who has been certified for what, and how do you make sure we have the right things, and because you don't want to cause a problem for the counselors where you didn't make enough sections for a certain classes. And it's been eye-opening, and once again, it's just another reminder of the more I know, the more I know I don't know enough. And seeing this process and how it's been going down and trying to figure it out, because there are very easy ways for someone to lose their perspective and get frustrated and angry and just like, why don't they move this, or why don't they move that, or why do we have to do it this way, or why can't we put this teacher in that spot? And it's just another reminder that I'm just holding one little puzzle piece of the puzzle. And maybe as a department head, maybe I've got a whole handful of pieces, but in the end, I don't have the complete vision. And I can be okay with that. I can go talk to people about it and try to understand the vision, or I can just work with the little pieces I have, put it together, and so it can be added to the whole. Because I've noticed in the past, younger Farnham, and maybe even a little bit this week for me, when you lose focus on that and think that you have a bigger role than you actually do, I think I ended up causing myself more problems. And so for me, it's a little bit of trying to keep focus on that. You know, don't lose myself and spend up my precious time and energy and emotion on things that ultimately are out of my control. And so that was, I think, a good reminder this week that there's levels to this. There's levels to teaching, there's levels to interactions, there's levels to planning, there's levels to life. It's like, and I think, again, the more I think I've reached a new level and pop my head up to the new service, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is what it looks like up here. And then you're like, wait, there's another one. And it's humbling. And that's good, because pride can pride can be my Achilles heel sometimes. I recognized that years ago, and so I have to remind myself that you don't know everything, and take the time to try to understand before you judge and dismiss. I guess we can finish on a good note. The Mustang soccer teams hosted Teacher Appreciation Night, and so I got to go do that Friday night. It was really great. Had a good time just hanging out and talking with some teachers. I saw some former students, saw some current students. I had a young man and a young lady nominate me, and so I got to go out there on the field in between the young ladies and the young men's varsity games, and they gave me a note. It was really sweet and really kind, and one of them was a senior, and one of them was a sophomore that I currently have, and it was just good times. And then, like I said, catching up with some of the other teachers while I stuck around and watched the second game, it was a good way to end the week, and I was really appreciative of that, appreciative of the appreciation, I guess. So, yeah, next week we've got a virtual day coming up because the juniors are going to be doing their testing, and we're just trying to get back in the swing of things. Try not to get too much spring fever as students get a little goofy. And hopefully some of them started the countdowns. I'm not quite ready for that, which, you know what, that might be a good episode for next week. But, yeah, I hope you enjoyed your spring break. I hope that you are enjoying the time that you have. And keep perspective, you know? Make sure that there are levels to things, and just because you've become a master of where you're at, you realize there's something just above. And I think that helps keep us from maybe putting our foot in our mouths from time to time, is realizing there's, as much as I do know, there's even more that I don't, and I should be patient and I should be kind, and I usually find that that makes for a better time with others. Well, as always, have a day.